Father, I thank you, Lord, because we know that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And we pray even now that that light will shine on our hearts, shine in our minds, in our spirit. Give us understanding concerning what the Spirit of the Lord is saying on these vital topics. We give you, Lord, all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so this is part one on the Overcome series. We're going to be exposing the fiery darts of the enemy. Today, I want to deal with this vital topic of fear and anxiety and what God has given us to counteract these fiery darts. That's boldness and confidence from the Lord. Well, let's see what the scripture, you know, has to say about this subject. We've talked and alluded to this subject many times here from time to time, but I want to give a deep dive study into the subject with many scriptures. For reference, you can refer to that article that I posted on our WhatsApp platform on the last day of last year. I have actually since then revised it some. I haven't posted it, but I revised my own copy. I added some more scriptures. Praise the Lord. So today, let's talk about fear and anxiety. And we'll also talk about boldness and confidence that God gives us to overcome these fiery darts from the enemy. Throughout the scriptures, many verses about this subject of fear and anxiety. A lot of verses. And the things that God was often say to his people about it. So we're just going to read through and discuss some of these verses. Remember, on the one hand, just like we had the series of the adversary and your advocate, one recently concluded, well, same here. On the one hand, you have the things that the enemy would throw at you as your adversary. And then on the other hand, you have what your advocate would do or has done for you or is giving you to combat those things. So, from the enemy, fear and anxiety. And from the Lord, boldness and confidence. Now let's talk about it. And I'll go through some scriptures. In these scriptures, I'm taking it as a Bible study this morning, just slowly. In these scriptures, we'll call out fear and anxiety, and some will call out boldness and confidence. And just like we did on the series of the verdict, well, you take your pick this morning. You don't let the devil put fear and anxiety upon you. Take upon you the boldness and confidence that God offers through his word instead. Deuteronomy chapter 31, we start and verse 8. In some of these scriptures, the Lord will give encouragement. And I've noticed that throughout the scriptures, there's always something being said against fear. Either the Lord will say, fear not, or be not afraid, or such and such. You know, so, and the reason for that is because fear and anxiety, those are indeed great tools in the hand of the devil. And there are portals that he uses. So you want that to open up. If you allow those gates or portals to open up, then here comes a barrage of other things. You know, once the fear gets in there, a host of other things will come along as well. You know, so it is important for us to go through these scriptures. This first one that I'm calling on, I'm going to try to go through them from old to new, all across the Bible, from old even to the New Testament. This one here in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. The Lord will give encouragement right away to the children of Israel here. And there are many reasons why they should be at that time afraid. Afraid of the giants, afraid of this, afraid of that. Afraid all of the nations that through whom they have to pass in order to get to the promised land. Afraid of many things. Even afraid of what the future might bring. And sometimes the past can make us afraid of the future. Take note of that. The past can sometimes make us afraid of the future. If someone has suffered losses in the past, the tendency is that they could be afraid of the future. And the devil can capitalize on that to try to use that to bring fear against the future. You know, say, well, these things happened to you in the past. Well, it happened to you again. So, you know, people will be afraid that, well, these things might happen to me. So that's why we're going through these lessons. And let me start from verse 6, actually, of Deuteronomy 31. Let's start from verse 6, and we'll just read through from 6 to 8. And here's what the Lord said, you know, in this encouragement that he brings to them. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. I mean, don't fear all these people, all these kings and nations and so forth. You know, don't be afraid of them. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Well, we're going to see how many times he's going to say that in these short two or three verses. Fear not, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's verse 6. You know, then Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. Remember, the Lord told him to strengthen Joshua's hand. That Joshua is going to be the one to take them in. For thou must go with these people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto our fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he tells him again, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Therefore, fear not, neither be dismayed. Those are powerful, powerful, encouraging words from the Lord and Moses to the people of Israel and Joshua. So let's take that for ourselves today. First thing is, be strong and have a good courage. And God is trying to instill boldness and confidence rather than the fear and the anxiety. Of course, we know that the people were afraid. They were afraid of the giants that they saw. They said, well, the land It is a land that is swallowing up the inhabitants. We can't do this. We're afraid. We're like grasshoppers in our own eyes. These people are giants, and we can't do it. There's no way that we can cut across their land. I mean, we were just a few, and we were able to hide here and there. But to bring this whole multitude across, no way. We can't do it. So they were afraid. But yet, the Lord had commanded them to have, you know, courage and to be strong. So that's number one. Right away, we see how the Lord brings the word when they were facing. I mean, as there was a promise given, even by oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of the land flowing with milk and honey that the Lord will give them. But from the place where they were to the place where they needed to get to, it was a journey, a very hazardous journey. They had to pass through the land of some several nations that would not let them pass through by any means. But the Lord gives courage. So let's look at it for ourselves even today. When the Lord has promised, given us the word of promise, and there are things that God wants us to inherit. But from where you are right now to where you need to get to inherit those things, there might be a hazardous journey along the way. You know, and fear might try to set in. But the Lord has, you know, words of encouragement for us. You know, the devil knows how to take advantage of, you know, fear when he sets in. You know, so, you know, let's know that, look, the devil will use that by all means. The moment that fear sets in, even things that we are afraid of, you must get rid of that fear. Don't let that fear settle in. In the story of Job, many of us know all the things that befell him in one day, because of the contest between the Lord and the devil, Job being the prize. The integrity of Job being the prize. The Lord said, well, my servant Job, have you seen him and considered him? No one like him that fears God and echoeth evil and so forth. Walks in the integrity of his heart. And of course, the devil challenged that. You know the story. But here's what Job would say in Job chapter 3 and verse 20. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. So, you know, we actually find out that Job was living in fear. You know, and he was always afraid that something bad will happen to his children and all these things that God had blessed him with. You know. And he used to pray for his children. So, well, perhaps they've done some evil. Perhaps they committed blasphemy or done something against God. He would pray for them. He would do whatever he needed to do on their behalf. But somewhere in his heart, he was always afraid that some evil would fall upon him. Well, that's the revelation that we see in this Job 3 and 25. And, you know, evil did fall upon him, you know, so. Although we know something behind the scenes that Job at the time before it was all revealed to him didn't know that there was a contest about that. But in his heart, his mind was also afraid. Well, you know, perhaps I might lose my children. Perhaps I might lose all these things. Perhaps some evil might come unto me. And did you know, those thoughts will come into your heart from time to time. You know, if you don't hear from your children in 1 or 2 days, and maybe it's the time they usually call or they are supposed to have called and they didn't call. And you know, the devil will take advantage of that and sow the seed of fear. You know, put some thoughts in there. Well, you need to get rid of those thoughts. You know, I've often said that, look, you really can't prevent those thoughts. You know, there's hardly anybody that can prevent those thoughts. Even Jesus, the devil planted some thoughts in his mind. I mean, take a look at this stone. After all, you are the Son of God. Turn it into bread. You know. So, look. It's like birds flying above your head. You can't prevent the birds from flying. But you can more certainly prevent them from landing on your head. You know, they can fly, but they're not landing on my head. You know, so don't let the birds land on your head. In fact, you know, there is a story, you know, in the book of Genesis chapter 15, when the Lord was saying, you know, some things to Abraham and telling him that of a surety your seed will go down here and some of these things will happen to them and so on and so forth. You know, then at one time he took and prepared a sacrifice. The Bible says in Genesis 15, you know, the verses 9 or so, the Lord told him, you know, take me an heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram of 3 years old and turtle and so forth. And he took all these, divided them in the midst and laid each piece against each other. You know, but the birds he divided not. And when the fowls came down, see, he was preparing a sacrifice here, you know, but the birds, the fowls, you know, like those scavenging fowls, they tried to come down, you know, upon his sacrifice. But what did he do? I told here in verse 11 that Abraham drove them away, you know, so don't let the birds come down on what you are preparing or what's in your mind or what you have between you and the Lord. You need to drive them away. I just remember that story as I was talking about, don't let the birds land on your head. Well, Abraham in this case did not let the birds come down on his sacrifice that he was putting together. So, the thoughts may come, but neither give place to the devil. We're told in Ephesians 4 and 27. Don't give place. He may sow those seeds, but don't let them fester in your mind. You know, it's not a sin and it's not, you know, a weakness for the thought to come. It'll come. You know, the thought will come. But what you do with it, your response is what matters. So your response should be one of driving the birds away and driving the thoughts away and don't let them settle in your mind. So back to our lesson of fear, how the devil can use that as a portal to bring many things. You know, once we are afraid, your hands are weakened. You know, that is what happened in the story in Numbers, you know, chapters 13 and 14, when those people were sent out to go and spy the land. The ones that were unbelieving came back with the report of fear, and they weakened the minds and the hands of the people. They did that too. So that's what the devil will always try to do that. You know, we read some stories about, you know, Sambalat and Tobiah, you know, when the Nehemiah and the company were trying to build, you know, they would come there, try to sow the seeds of fear to the workers, into their hands, to their minds, so that their hands will be weakened, you know, we're told, you know, weaken their hands by many of the things that they try to tell them. And they try to show them, you can't do this. We're going to report to the king. We're going to tear it down. We're going to obstruct you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And they will come in there, you know, and sow fear and weaken the hands of the people by the fear that they sowed. So you know, that's not really my last story, so I don't want to go into that particular story. Just brought it out. The Spirit saying move along here. So, but remember, don't let the devil use fear to bring in other things. Now, there are demonic spirits that are behind each of these fiery darts that we're going to be exposing through this series. And what they do is, in fact, Jesus himself said it in a way. He said, when the evil spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, looking for rest and finding none, he goeth back. And seeing that the place is now clean and, you know, garnished but empty, well, he goes about and finds, you know, seven more wicked spirits that are even more wicked than himself, and they come. And then they infest the mind of that person, and the end state is worse than the beginning. So, these demonic spirits, they like to, once they find an inroad, bring more evil company. That's why the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Don't even give him any place. Don't give him an inch. You've heard the story that people would say, or the sayings, that give the devil an inch, you'll take a mile. Well, don't even give him an inch. So, the fear and anxiety, that's one thing that the enemy knows how to use. Now, let's see some responses, you know, to these things. And throughout these next verses, we'll see a mixture of what might be fear and anxiety, and also what might be people's responses to these things that would normally cause fear. I just, you know, read a few verses here and there. You know, Psalm 23 and verse 4. The psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, that's some boldness and some confidence. Remember, we are exposing the fiery darts of the enemy on the one hand, and your response, your Holy Spirit-inspired response to these things. So, here was David's response. Look. You know, things that normally could bring fear. The valley of the shadow of death. There's, you know, dead bones all around you. You know, the air is even full of death. You can smell it. You can feel the thickness of death in the air. I mean, it looks like, you know, there's darkness everywhere. You know, and this is a journey that you've got to take and pass through. And there's fear on every hand because of, you know, what you see. You know, there's the slain all around you. There's the valley of the shadow of death, you know, and dark clouds of death and shadowish, you know, around you and so forth. But this man, he said, look, yeah, these things would normally cause, you know, fear to grip your heart. But he said, I will not be afraid. Hallelujah. You know, and why did he say he would not be afraid? Well, you know, you have to speak boldness and confidence out of your mouth rather than fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety will be dropped into your heart, but you got to speak the boldness out. Don't speak the thing that the devil drops. You speak what the word of God says. You know, so I will not be afraid because I know he will get me through it. And I will arrive and come out on the other side. He said it, you know. Because the Lord is with me, he will comfort me and he'll guide me. So that was his own response to the fear that should have come through walking, you know, when you walk through that shadow, valley of shadow of death everywhere. Nobody's passed through it before, you know. They are tempted and they are dead. You see their bones all around you. But you in your mind say, well, I'm going through. I'm coming out on the other side. Well, that is some boldness and that is some confidence, you know, and that was his response. You know, here's another one of his responses to the things, and that was David's responses to the things that would normally create fear. Psalm 27, he says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Well, there's a lot of people to fear and a lot of things to fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid, or even of what? He wasn't afraid of anybody. He wasn't afraid of situations. You know, he said, look, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat off my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Well, you can say it that way as a testimony of something that has happened in the past. You can also say it as a declaration of your boldness and confidence that when my enemies and my foes shall come up against me to eat up my flesh, they shall stumble and fall. Praise the Lord. He's quoting it one way. You can quote it a different way. You know, because you've seen it happen before. You've seen the Lord deliver you out of those things, and he'll do it again. You know, because the devil will try to use the negative. He say, well, you've seen some negative thing that happened before. You know, it's like you know, there's a family member that's sick, that's going through, you know, some sickness, illness, incurable disease, whatever. The devil will bring it and say, look, that other person died of this illness. They were also believers. They prayed, but they died. You know, and your own, it'll be just like that. He'll tell you. He'll bring all these things. Why do you think you're going to survive? That person did not survive. He'll bring all these things to your mind. What shall be your response? Well, your response ought to be, you know, boldness and confidence. And here's how you should say it. In the book of Romans, you know, chapter 3, you should say it this way. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, so we're not calling them liars, but let God be true and every situation else be a lie. You know, some situation that didn't quite work out, well, let it be a lie. Well, let God's word be true. I'm going to hold on to God's word. You know, the Lord said that he would deliver me, so I'm going to believe that. And if other people were not delivered, well, so be it. But I'm going to believe that God will deliver me. Let God be true and everything else be a liar. So nothing else is the standard, our standard, but God's word. And so that's how you would overcome, you know, the things that the enemy will try to bring. Here's another way, you know, and well, okay, let me finish that one. So, and he said that, look, even though war should rise up against me, you know, I shall not fear, and this will I be confident. These are things in which people would normally be afraid. Bombs blowing up around you and so forth. Things happening and everything. You know, he said, well, I'll be confident. The Lord's going to protect me. Well, the devil will say, protect you. Look at all the people that are dying. You know, but yeah, you got to make your declaration of faith. And hosts may encamp around me. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise up against me. In this will I be confident. Now, this was this man's level of confidence. You know, so what is your level of confidence? You know, that's our challenge today. Here's another one he puts out there in Psalm 46, you know, verses 1-3. And he had his fair share of troubles, you know. His life was constantly in jeopardy. Even when he was anointed to be king, Saul was chasing him all over the place trying to kill him. And even there was trouble within his own family and so on. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, the way that David used to declare these things, you know, if you look carefully, you'll see that that was, you know, something that was, you know, demonstrating confidence in God's ability to come through for him all the time. You will say, look, a very present help is my God when I'm in trouble. He said, therefore, will we not fear? You know, get rid of the fear because the Lord is with you. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea and though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, yet will we not be moved because the Lord is with us. You know, because the God that created the heavens and the earth is mightier than the troubling of the water. You know, and he can calm the seas. And he's giving us power even to do that too. But when the moment of fear and anxiety, you will not be able to see the solution. You know, I've seen where people, something happens. I mean, they're so panicky and so fearful. They run all over the place. They will not be able to see the solution that God is providing. Won't be able to hear the Holy Spirit, and panic sets in. But, you know, the Lord's already, you know, provided a solution. But you won't see it when you're running and crazy and screaming and panicking, you know, and so on. Well, it takes time to practice that serenity. So you got to practice it ahead of the trouble, you know, and be prayed up. Because, you know, if you're not, when the trouble comes, you're just going to react like the disciples did when the storm came against the boat. You know, but they should have had confidence that the Lord was in the boat and the boat would not sink. But they didn't. They panicked. So we need to get rid of the panic. And the psalmist, he was very good at stirring up confidence within himself. You know, listen to what he even said concerning, you know, other things when even life, you know, seems like it's fading away from him and so on. He would say, well, in Psalm 118, let's read verses 6 to 9 and then also verse 17. You know, Psalm 118, here's the psalmist coming again with, you know, encouragement to himself. It's the way I see it, you know, because he loved to encourage himself, you know, throughout all these things. He said here in verse 6 of Psalm 118, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Same thing like he said in Psalm 27. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore, I see my desire upon them that hate. He said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So when we're talking of confidence, don't put your confidence in man. Put your confidence and your trust in the Lord. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Well, listen to this also in verse 10, even though I said 6 to 9. My eye just caught verse 10. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about. Yeah, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Now, is that confidence or is that confidence? They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. You know, my goodness, this man, you know, nothing would shake his faith and his confidence in the Lord. You know, so, and look at what he said, even in the face of death, in verse 17. He said, look, you know, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And that's a memory verse that everybody needs to learn. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. You know, so when the enemy tells you, well, you're going to die. You say, no, I shall not die, and I shall live, and I will declare the works of the Lord. You know, that's how you come against, you know, the thoughts of the enemy, these thoughts that he puts into your head. Or you say, yo, you know, these things, he will try to bring fear through those thoughts. I mean, if you read this whole Psalm 118, all of it, you will just see how this man exhumed confidence, you know, in the Lord, in many of the things that he said in this chapter. Well, let's continue with some other verses. How about Isaiah? I love Isaiah. I always love to go to Isaiah to find something. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. You know, these are some of the other ways to gather confidence, you know, within yourself and put your trust in the Lord. How do you do it? Well, here's the way that Isaiah put it in Isaiah chapter 26. It says, your mind must be stayed on the Lord. You know, keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your mind on his promise. Never mind the arrows that the enemy might throw. Never mind the storm that might come. You know, you stay focused on the promise of the Lord that he is able to bring you through it. Hallelujah. It is the Lord that doth go with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. So rather than having fear and anxiety, he's going to have perfect peace because of his trust in the Lord. So this verse is showing us that by trusting in the Lord, we can eliminate, you know, the anxiety and the fear and so forth that will come. The Lord is your strength. He said, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah in him is everlasting strength. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful scripture. That will keep in perfect peace. I use that to encourage myself all the time. You know, instead of allowing my mind to be shaky, run up and down, and just say, well, you know, I put my mind on the Lord, he'll keep me in perfect peace. Praise the Lord. You know, and here are some things that the Lord said to Isaiah, and he says it back to us so that to encourage us. You know, Isaiah, you know, chapter 41, verses 10 through 13. Here are the things that the Lord said to him, and he brought it right back and used it to encourage the children of Israel and to us as well. Well, the Lord said to him to give him encouragement. He said, as in, you know, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Hallelujah. So these are scriptures that you need to have in your pocket. You know, when the devil tries to bring these things of fear and anxiety, fear not, be not dismayed. You know, I am with you and I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. You know, he's saying, that's what the Lord said. He said, look, all the people that trouble you and everything, they will be ashamed and they will be confounded. They will be as nothing that strive against you. They shall perish. So don't worry about it. He said, look, when you even seek them, you will not even find them, because I'll blow them away. All that contend with thee, and they that war against you shall be as nothing, saith the Lord. Shall be as a thing of naught. I'll blow them away. My goodness. You know, and he said, for I, the Lord, will hold your right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Hallelujah. Fear thou not, thou worm Jacob. Even if you think of yourself as nothing, everybody, you are something. You know, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. How many times is he going to say, I will help you in four verses? A lot. I will help thee. I will uphold your hand. I will strengthen you. Fear not. You know, and so on. You know, and told him a few other things to encourage him. Well, you know, our declaration, a verse of faith in Isaiah 50 verse 7 is based upon all these things that the Lord already told him. Well, he said, well, I know that the Lord God will help me. Well, because the Lord already told him he's going to help me. So, you know, and then, you know, I will not be, you know, confounded, you know, and therefore have I set my face as a flint, you know, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You know, I've given that memory verse here a few times, you know, that we should learn it and quote it. But here are a few more things, you know, that, you know, Isaiah used to encourage himself. In Isaiah chapter 43, you know, the Lord gave him some promises. You know, in Isaiah 43, the Lord said to me, look, when you pass through, and he used his mouth to prophesy it as well. You know, what I say unto one, I say unto all. You know, not only was Isaiah prophesying it to the children of Israel and to us, well, he said it to himself as well. You can take these scriptures and run with it. You know, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. You know, so don't be afraid of the boisterous waves. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Even when you walketh through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. that shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I, the Lord thy God, you know, I am with you. He told him. So, you know, my goodness, you know, there were three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that put this scripture to test. They knew that if we put our trust in the Lord, he's able to bring us through the fire. And he did exactly that. Praise the Lord. This is what he says here. So, these are words of encouragement, how you combat this fear. You know, you're in the midst of turbulence and overwhelming floods and so forth that would normally overwhelm your soul. You know, that sometimes some things we go through that people just, I mean, they are just, they're broken. They're out. Not broken in terms of, you know, seeking the Lord, but they're broken because of the things that come against them. It's like their life is shattered, broken in pieces, you know, and then they're just overwhelmed. And they can't go through. And the devil tells them, you'll never get up from that. You'll never make it. You know, but the Lord, he knows how to put up, you know, pick up the broken pieces, put them all back together, make it over. He can do it too. But you have to have our confidence in him, you know. So those are the things that Isaiah would say to us in this verse. I mean, these verses and so forth. And he said, look, since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I give men. I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, he said in verse 5 again. For I am with thee. I will bring even your seed from the east and gather them from the west. Hallelujah. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that's called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Now, that's a promise from the Lord. He'll bring your sons and he'll bring your daughters. Wherever they are, he'll bring them too. He'll bring thy seed. You know, they may have gone away from the Lord. The Lord said, look, I'll bring them. Don't worry about it. The devil said, look, they will not make it. You know, they are lost. The Lord said, no, I will bring them from the land of the enemy. Jeremiah 31 and verses 16 and 17. He told them too. The Lord will do it. Praise the Lord. So this is how we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Here's some more. Isaiah 54 and verse 4. Now, when you are tossed up and down, when you have, you know, troubles that go beyond your strength, when the sea billows roll, can you say, it is well with my soul, you know? And that's what this lesson is saying. Isaiah 54 verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. You will not be confused, for thou shalt not be put to shame. These are powerful point blank promises. And this is how you build boldness and confidence in the face of fear or would-be fear and anxiety. You tell yourself these scriptures that, look, I will not be ashamed and I will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. Remember no more the reproach of thy widowhood, for thy maker is thy husband. Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even goes here to tell you that, look, you know, you may be, the devil may tell you, you're going to be remain forsaken. You will never be chosen. Nobody is going to find you. You will be a woman forsaken. You will be a woman refused. But the Lord said, I'm changing your name to Hephzibah and Beulah. That's right. For you will be chosen. And you will be, you know, called a delight. And you will be married. The devil will tell you, you'll never be married. You'll be single. You'll be in fear. You're going to raise these kids all by yourself. You'll never find anybody else to help you. You know, you won't do it. The devil will bring all these thoughts from time to time. But then you bring the word of the Lord, you know, remember Hebrews 4 and 12, the word of God will divide between the soul and the spirit. When these thoughts of fear and anxiety come into your soul, bring the word of God as a divider to put the soul in its place and let the spirit latch onto the word. That's the your nevertheless moment. You say, well, we have toiled all night. We are never going to catch anything. We've packed in our nets, Luke chapter 5. You know, but then a nevertheless moment is when you remember that this is the master that is speaking to you. You say, well, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net again. Because the Lord said, do it again. You say, well, he said, look, I've done it all night. Nothing happened. You know, I'm done. I washed my nets. I packed it in. Jesus said, well, do it again. Raise the Lord, you know. And he gave him strategy of how to do it too. And this time you go over on this side, cast your net over on this side. Raise the Lord, you know. So, but you use the word of God to bring in those nevertheless moments. In the face of fear, in the face of discouragement, in the face of anxiety, in the case of, look, you know, how am I going to pay my bills? I didn't catch anything all day. I've labored all night. Nothing coming in. Waiting for that contract. It's not coming in. You're doing this and that. It's not, nothing is there. You know, the Lord said, well, do it again. You know, go out again one more time. Hallelujah. Launch back out into the deep. Say, well, I've been there, done that. You know, the Lord said, well, do it again. Praise the Lord. And that's how you separate between all the soulish emotions, the fear, the doubt, the anxiety is all in the soul. But the spirit will latch on to the word of God. Say, divider between soul and spirit. That's the word of God. Give you those nevertheless moments. Well, praise the Lord. So that's how you do it. And the Lord said, look, fear not. You will not be ashamed. You will not be confounded. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Glory to God. The book of Lamentation, chapter 3. And verse 57, moving right along here. You know, Jeremiah is going to get in on this action too. And not to be left out, he would have something to say about this subject. You know, and so there are many people throughout the scriptures that have one thing or the other to say about it. And here's what Jeremiah had to say about it. You know, he said, thou drew near in the day that I called upon thee, and you said unto me, fear not. You know, well, yeah. So, this man, he knew also how to draw near unto the Lord. And he was listening to what God would say. You know, well, when you're drawing near to the Lord, are you listening to what he will say? Well, he will drop a word for you that will encourage you. It might be the Holy Spirit bringing something back to your remembrance that the Lord already told you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And he drop a word and say, fear not. Hallelujah. Now, why did the Lord always try to get this fear? Say, well, oh Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. You know, I mean, you know, so, because the Lord knows that once the devil gets a hold of that fear and that anxiety, it'll bring seven more wicked spirits along with him. So the Lord is showing us how to develop confidence by trusting in the Lord. Joel chapter 2 and verse 21. Fear not, the Lord said, you know, be glad and rejoice. You know, fear not. The Lord is going to do great things. Be not afraid, he said. Be even glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Fear not, but instead be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. It may not look like there's any great things, you know, coming or even within the horizon, but the Lord said he's going to do it. You know, you may not see the promise of rain just yet, but the Lord said he's going to bring rain. So what do? Well, you pray some more. You send your servant to go check it out again. And then you pray some more and you check it out again. That's what Elijah did. Because the Lord already said, I will do great things. I will bring a sound, you know, I may bring a great abundance of rain. He heard the sound in the spirit, but now his eyes can't see anything. But he will dig in there in prayer. He's not going to let go until he prays that promise through. And that's what you got to do. You know, don't give in to fear. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't let the devil use that as a portal to bring other things. Like Job, all the things he feared, he said, came upon him. Don't do it. Don't even repeat it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say to the devil, get thou behind me, Satan. For thou knowest not the things of God. You don't know the thoughts of God towards me. You don't know the plans that God has towards me. My children will not die. I will not die of this sickness because his thoughts towards me are for good and not for evil. You tell the devil that and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Don't repeat any evil thought that he brings into your mind. You know, you are a student. You're doing an exam. You're waiting for results. Say, well, you are not going to pass that. You're going to fail. You know, these are the things that the elements that the devil will use. You know, I mean, look, you know, people have done this thing, they failed. I mean, you failed last night, you're going to fail again. I mean, there's so many things that the devil will just say, you know. But, you know, you must rise above fear and anxiety and use the word of God. You use the word of God and say, no, because the Lord was with me. And by the inspiration of the Almighty, I got the victory. Hallelujah. I mean, you encourage yourself with different words. Put confidence in your heart and get away. Don't let drive the birds of fear and anxiety away. Praise the Lord. Let's move to some things in the New Testament quickly. Many places where Jesus said, fear not. We've seen all through the Old Testament where God said it and his prophets said it. And how the psalmist and everybody tried to encourage themselves with the things God said to them. Well, let's see when Jesus himself, in the days of his earthly ministry, how he always tried to put out the fear. Because fear has torment. You know, and when you get in there, and when that fear gets in there, you know, it creates all kinds of havoc. Mark chapter 5. Let's look at some of the lessons here in the stories of Jesus. You know, Jesus always said, you know, be not afraid, only believe. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. In this particular story, you know, there was, you know, the first there was the woman that touched the hem of his garment and so forth. And Jesus was going somewhere, you know, to go heal somebody and so forth, you know. And then in the meantime, the ruler of that synagogue to where the master was going, they say, well, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is already dead. It's too late. So as soon as they said that to him, and of course, the Lord was already going there to go and do something, you know, but, you know, they told him, the news came and said, look, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master anymore? It's over. You know, but what did Jesus say? Be not afraid. Because he knew that the moment that that fear would set in because of the news he just heard, it would indeed be over. If you allow that fear to set in. So Jesus had to dispel that fear. Be not afraid. Only believe. That's another, you know, dispeller of the fear. You know, how do you bring confidence? Well, through believing in the Lord, believing in his promises, believing that in his assurances. And so Jesus had to put that away. And he said, well, eventually he said, look, the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Because the people laughed him to scorn, but he knew what he was saying. And he got that young lady out of that grip of death. But Jesus had to tell her father, be not afraid, you know, because you've heard bad news, but be not afraid, you know. So, and then put that in your own circumstances and your own situations. Sometimes you may hear bad news, you know, don't be afraid. The devil is just blowing up smoke, just trying to do something. And let me drop something here right now. If you can believe this, let me drop this right now. Ladies and gentlemen, are you sitting down? I'm going to drop this thing for you right now. If you can believe this, God heard you now as though it was 2 weeks ago. Praise the Lord. You know, something that you thought happened even 2 weeks ago, that you didn't even get a chance to pray about it, and now you're hearing the bad news. Well, that's why I say, if you can believe it. Now, this is something that people can't believe. But, you know, God made me realize that, look, he heard me now as though it was 2 weeks ago. So when a bad news comes, which is reaching me now from what happened 2 weeks ago, I can say to myself, I'm going to pray right now. Now, hey, you know, this may be beyond the horizon of some, but I have seen it happen. I said, Lord, you heard me now as though it was 2 weeks ago. And you already made provision because you heard me now. How many of you know that God is not in the future? He's not in the past. He's eternal. There is nothing future to him. So the prayer that I'm praying now, he heard it 2 weeks ago when that prayer was needed. But I'm just hearing about it now. I'm praying it now. You know, if you can only believe it, that's a level of faith, you know. But I know it, you know, my heart is fixed. You know, well, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm not going to be afraid of evil tidings because the Lord already heard my prayer. Now, what would have been those evil tidings? And they, at the end of it, you know, it was nothing, you know. It was nothing at all, you know, and there was really nothing to it. I've seen it time and time again. I've used it to encourage people. You know, it was nothing at all. You know, they heard some bad news. They got some evil report. They even got notice from the law. You know, I've encouraged brethren and they say, look, it was nothing at all. We'll pray right now. The Lord heard this prayer before they even wrote that letter. And they struggle with it. How in the world? You know, you can't pray for something that's already passed. Well, that's what you think. You know, to the Lord, it wasn't past because he knew and he saw it then, you know. So, you know, hey, for me, it's all the same. It's all the same to the Lord, past, present, future, you know. And I use this to encourage myself. I said, look, I'm never going to hear evil. I'm not going to see evil. I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to even think it, you know. So see no evil. Speak no evil, hear no evil, and see no evil. You know, so that's it. The Lord, use your confidence and say, look, I am not afraid. I will not be afraid of evil tidings. But I'm trusting in the Lord. And I shall not ever be afraid of evil tidings. Evil tidings will come. And what does, you know, what is the purpose of evil tidings? Well, to bring fear, so that your heart will be gripped with fear, you know, and that is how the devil will come in there, you know, once he gets in there with, you know, with the fear, all kinds of other things will bring with him because of the fear. So, you need to put out the fear because of your trust in the Lord. Your heart is fixed. And let your trust be in the Lord. And you tell the devil, you know, your heart is fixed. I am trusting in the Lord because I will not be afraid because of the things that the Lord has said unto me. He has given me assurance that while I'm yet speaking, he will hear me. While the word is still in my mouth, he will do it. So you return to Psalm 112 and you make a statement to yourself in verse 7 and you say, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I will not be afraid of evil tidings. And the noise on the news comes in. Yeah, it can be noise too. When the news comes in to try to cause a shaky mind in you, well, you react with the word of the Lord. And you say, I will not be afraid of any evil tidings because I'm trusting in the Lord. In Luke chapter 8, verse 50, a similar story recorded in the same way that Jesus would again say, you know, try to get the fear out of that. Because he can't, you know, people think that the Lord can't do anything because of unbelief. Well, that's true. It's the same thing with fear. When there is overmuch fear, you really can't do, the Lord can't really do anything because the fear has gripped, you know, the people's hearts and they can't do anything. So the same story is reported here, you know, and in Luke chapter 8 and verse 50, same story, reported it, you know, in his own words. Luke reported it one way, Mark reported it a different way. Fear not, believe only, for your daughter shall be made whole. You know, and Jesus went in, of course, and raised the maid back to life. You know, there's other places also too. In Luke chapter 12, let's see some of the things that Jesus said about fear and even confidence as we go through this journey in life. Luke chapter 12, let's first of all read verse 7. You know, Jesus said, look, was giving them a lesson here about don't be afraid of the things of life. What shall we do? What shall we not do? And all these things, you know, and so forth. What shall we eat? What shall we do? You know, and all this. And he said, look, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? In one place he said, well, you know, 2 pharaohs sold for a penny. In another place he said, 5 sold for 2. You know, like, so that's like buy one, get 2, or buy 2, get 1 free. He said, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you know, he was even telling people, don't be afraid of what people might do to you, you know. And, you know, if you think that when you try to stand up for the Lord, they might grab you and they might do this and so forth. Jesus said, look, don't be afraid. They can only kill the body. They can't even kill the soul. Don't be afraid of them. You know, fear thou not, he said, you are of more value than many sparrows. You know, he always brought the fear not there. And here's what he said even about the kingdom. In Luke chapter 12, this same chapter 12, let's read verse 31. You know, he said, look, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's Luke 12, verse 32. You know, because people say, well, I can't make it, or the devil put in your mind that you're not going to make it. But the Lord said, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Put out the fear. The Lord's good pleasure it is to give you the kingdom. Praise the Lord. So Jesus gives encouragements even throughout his ministry, you know, even on the journeys of life. Look at what he said in John chapter 14. We alluded to this yesterday. John chapter 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. That's anxiety. You know, neither let it be afraid. That's fear. And he began to tell them some things. In my Father's house, you know, the devil will tell you, you're not going to make the rapture. You know, you'll be left behind. And, you know, there is even no promise. How do you even know that there is such a place called heaven? Well, Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm telling you now, there are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And when it's all done, I'll come in and get you to myself. And where I am, you will be there also. Those are powerful promises. And get the fear out of your mind. The Lord said, you know, where I am, you will be with me. And then furthermore, he said in verse 27, talking about, you know, the things that we will face as we go through this journey in life. You will face all kinds of things. But Jesus said, look, I give you my peace, not as the world gives. We talked about this yesterday or the other day. But I give you the kind of peace. When we dealt with the covenant of my peace, we talked about that as well. You know, the peace that God gives replaces the fear and the anxiety. Praise the Lord. All right, here's a few more scriptures. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. There's a story here of the disciples when they began to be afraid. What did they do? Well, they started out with some boldness. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, became bold suddenly, whereas in the past he had denied the Lord even before he made. But suddenly when the Holy Ghost came, you know, gave him boldness. And he stood up and preached to a very large crowd, out of which 3,000 were saved at once. Well, we know there were many more than that in the crowd. And later on, he and John, you know, brought healing to the man where they said, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you, and all that stuff. Eventually, the leaders of the synagogues and so forth, the religious leaders of their days, will grab a hold of them and threaten them and beat them and say, don't preach in that name. Don't start this thing. And so they became afraid. So they went to back to their company. And so that's another lesson of, you know, well, there may be times when you are afraid. What do you do then? Well, here's what they did when they were afraid. They went and prayed for another dose of anointing from the Holy Spirit. You know, they said in Acts chapter, you know, 4 verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with boldness, all boldness, they may speak thy word. So their boldness started to wane. You know, they were beginning to be afraid again. You know, so they had to go and pray for more boldness. You know, so there may be times if you are afraid, you know, afraid of what somebody will say, afraid of what they will do. Well, you need to go back and pray for more Holy Spirit, you know. And then when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were gathered together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the second time. This is chapter 4, not chapter 2. And they're filled again with the Holy Ghost and brought them boldness. And he said, they speak the word of God with boldness. So when we see that our boldness has departed from us, you find it hard now to witness to anybody on the street because you are afraid. You can't witness to anyone on your job, your friend, your neighbor, anybody. You're just afraid. You know, what are they going to do to you anyway? But you're afraid. Well, it's time to pray. Pray for more of the Holy Spirit again to bring boldness. You know, God doesn't want us to be afraid, you know, and we should never be afraid of, you know, the psalmist said, you know, why should I even be afraid of a man, you know, and, you know, what in the world are they going to do unto you anyway? I am he that comforted you, said the Lord, Isaiah 51 and verse 12, you know, who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And of the Son of Man that shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And the Lord said, where is the fury of the oppressor? This thing you are afraid of, where is it? I can't even see it. I'm looking all over for it. You know, he said, look, don't need to be afraid of a man. You don't need to be afraid of a Son of Man that would die. Oh, and, you know, you forget the Lord. The Lord is on your side. Don't be afraid. And that's what the psalmist said. Look, the Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Well, let me read out a few more scriptures here quickly. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, the scripture says that, you know, God doesn't want us to be bound over by the spirit of fear. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. That's not our portion that we should walk in. We should not walk in the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. But we should walk in the boldness of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And here's why he says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And this same thing, in another way, so to speak, is said and given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God, he said, has not given us, you know, the spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear, you know, fear has torment. So that spirit of fear, that's not what God has given us. But let's see, what has he given us instead of the spirit of fear? Well, he's given us the spirit of power, love, and sound mind, and boldness. And these are the things that God has given us, but not the spirit of fear. So we should not walk in fear. Praise the Lord. Let me wrap up this lesson with Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We're talking about anxiety. He said, look, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's a lot of things that can make you anxious and panic and so forth. You know, bad news, bad thoughts, bad this, bad that. You know, even bad report from the doctors coming in there and so on. You know, and then fear will set in. But he said, look, put your faith in the Lord and the peace of God that passes understanding. My goodness. Keep your hearts and minds at rest. You know, in the face of all of those things, you know, God will give you peace. Listen to this in 1 John chapter 5. Here's what the scripture says, you know, in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, then the witness of God is greater. If you receive the doctor's report, I said, well, they found this and they found that and they this and that. And the devil will capitalize on that or try to and say, well, you see, you're going to die. And doctors might even say some things. We give you 6 months to live or whatever. And they can say all these things. If you receive the witness of men, well, the witness of God is greater. Whose report shall you believe? And, you know, those doctors, they do a great job. They've got science and, you know, technology and everything. They can predict all kinds of things. But, you know, the Lord, he is still God. You know, and then he said, look, if you receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And we have a propensity, human beings do, just to receive the witness of men. You know, there's even a local channel that we have here that's, you know, has a show they call Eyewitness News. You know, Eyewitness News. I'm not there. They're the one reporting it. But we believe it anyway. When you turn on TV and then you see all these things happening around the world and everything, or hear all this news, you believe it anyway. And you're not there, but you believe it. You know, because they report it on the news. You just believe it. You know, well, if you receive the report of men and you believe the things that they are saying by Eyewitness News or doctor's report or all these things, if you believe all those things, then you should also believe the witness of God. Because the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God. That he said, you know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is the witness of God that he has said, even in these scriptures that we have read today, that it is the Lord that God that doth go with you. Therefore, you will not be afraid and you should not be afraid. This is the witness of God that said to you, fear not, and be not afraid. You know, have confidence. Go forward, saith the Lord, and don't be afraid. Say, I will help you. I will uphold you. I will hold your hand, and so forth, and I will give you the victory. This is the witness of God that I said unto you that my thoughts towards you, Jeremiah 29:11, are for good and not for evil. You know, when the devil brings the evil thoughts, I say, you're going to die. Well, you turn around and give him the word of God. Smack down in his face. Say, well, the Lord said, this is what the Lord said. And I'm going to believe the word of God. Hallelujah. When the enemy says that, look, you will not rise from this bed of affliction. Well, and you bring the word of God and say, I am the Lord, you know, that healed thee. That's what he said. He has healed me already. Wherefore I say unto everyone today, you know, be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Don't be fearful. You know, remember, you know, the Lord does not, the Lord does not love people to be fearful. You know, if we are fearful, the devil would take advantage of that, you know, and he will try to bring many more things in. And at the end of the day, in Revelation 21 and verse 8, we are told that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars, they are all in the same category of people that will not make it in, that will be cast out of God's presence. Now, so don't, you know, that fear can lead people eventually into the lake of fire. Because, you know, it starts out by a little thing and then it gets infested in there and brings in all kinds of things to the point where people will eventually lose their faith. The fearful shall not make it in. So, ladies and gentlemen, drive away the birds of fear and anxiety through boldness and confidence. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. You know, this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And because he heareth us, we know that we receive the desires that we petitioned of him. May the Lord bless his word into our hearts and give us courage as we go through this journey to ward off all the fiery darts of the enemy. These ones that we have spoken against today, being fear and anxiety, the Lord has given us boldness and confidence in his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I pray for everyone in this room today that we will not succumb to the spirit of fear, the imaginations and the thoughts of fear and anxiety, but we will be confident in the Lord. And our confidence will be put only in the Lord and his word. Father, we thank you for encouragement to your people today. We give you the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.